Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program, and it is Monday, December the 16th, 2024. And joining me in studio is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And Ed's off all week. Is that right? So Ed Battagliano for you, for the Ed Battagliano fan club.
Yes, Ed's off all week. He'll be back Friday for Trivia Friday.
Okay, he'll be back Friday. So if you want to know, where's Ed?
He's not watching his Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
They're not doing well at all.
Oh, they're not doing well?
No.
So he's taking off this week, I guess, mourn.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's part
mourn,
of it.
Mourn the fact that his season is, his team's season is over before it really ever began.
I teased him last week. I said, are the Boston Bruins still in the NHL?
Oh, wow. That's, oh, Fred.
Hey, listen, my team is just as bad.
Just as bad. So you
Chicago
are both.
Blackhawks, we're in misery.
You are both suffering together.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, I've actually changed jerseys. I'm cheering for Winnipeg these days.
Oh, fair weathered fan, are you?
Yes, yes. Enough of this.
Hey, as a Mississippi State fan, football fan, I understand you.
Oh,
yeah. So is what? Chris too.
Yeah, and in my case, the Dolphins are terrible.
Yeah. So your college and your pro teams are terrible.
Yeah, you know, I sometimes wonder.
You get counseling for whether, that?
Well, you know, I sometimes wonder if God, back in the 90s, when I, Chris Woodward.
Okay. Be careful what you blame on God, but go ahead.
Well, I just wonder what his facial expression was when I decided in the 1990s I was going to root for the MSU Bulldogs and the Miami Dolphins. I just like, okay,
well, you
son.
Decided? I was born this way.
I didn't have a choice.
Most fans, your dad start taking you to the ball games when you're 5 years old and you
– Yeah.
Then when you're 25, you figure out, hey, we're not Alabama.
Yeah.
So you're telling me I got a lifelong, huh? Anyway, so you enjoy your 7-8 win seasons and move on to the next
you
sport.
Get moral victories every once in a while. Well, we didn't lose that bad.
Right. All right, so we hope everybody had a nice weekend. Do you have a nice weekend, Fred?
Sure did. Got a little wet here yesterday in our part of the world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the leaves finally came off the trees.
Yeah.
We've had a weird fall here. It warmed up. I actually had blossoms coming out on some of the trees.
Yeah.
Like springtime blossoms.
Yeah.
So the trees really went nuts.
Yeah.
But the rain this weekend took all the leaves down.
Yeah.
So I'm celebrating. I can finally clean them up.
Yep. Except when they get in the gutter.
Yeah, no.
The gutters.
Yes.
Well, we had our family.
Ah. So,
yeah, my wife's side.
Okay.
Of the family.
You have to spread it out. Cause
yeah, we get all our family lives in North Mississippi, so but we had my wife's family side over.
Uh-huh.
And we have about a 2,500 square foot home, you know?
Okay.
So, but we had 30 people packed in there. Now, we have a patio, too.
Goodness.
Yeah, it was a super spreader. No question about that. I mean, Dr. Fauci would not approve. And furthermore, I'll just say this. If they ever discover that butter is unhealthy for you, our family is doomed.
Yeah.
Because my wife, Allison, God bless her, she puts some lima beans in with the butter.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a food group in the South.
So Wesley's eating last night. He goes, man, these lima beans taste like dessert. And I'm going, that's because your mom put six sticks of butter
yeah.
in there with
She just went full Paula Deen.
Yeah. Oh man. I don't know. Anyway,
it's Christmas.
It's Christmas. Yeah. Enjoy yourself.
Just
right?
Forget about it.
You can worry about your belly in January sometime, right?
Well, I made the mistake getting on a scale this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm already 3 pounds over.
It's a Christmas boom.
No, I've got to do something about that.
but you'll do it in January. Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
I will use this opportunity to remind our listeners that in Nehemiah 8:10 in the King James and some other versions, it says, eat the fat, drink the sweet. So there you go.
Praise
the Lord.
God.
We had some leftover caramel cake, you know,
okay.
Or caramel cake, whatever you call it. So I brought it for the staff this morning. I wrote a note and I said, calories, compliments of Tim and Allison. It's like, it'll be gone though.
Yeah.
You got some leftover sweets or not? You bring it here?
Yes.
All right. You bring it here. It'll be gone.
It'll be gone before you can make it to your department to say they're there.
Yes. It is. Tis the season.
Tis the season. All right. Well, anyway, hope everybody had a nice weekend and planning for, you know, celebrating Christmas with your family and friends. It is a time to reflect on the goodness of the Lord, right, Fred?
Amen. And that is so true. And the Christmas message, I've been enjoying David Jeremiah's program, Turning Point. And I tell you what, he is going through the various aspects of the Christmas story. And we heard this morning from, actually, we're going to have a guest.
Yeah.
Becky Drace is coming up. And she's coming up on our program to talk about a new book she has. But she reminded us in our devotion this morning about that scene of the shepherds, when the angel came to announce to them about a baby that was born.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, one of the aspects of that particular part of the Christmas story is a multitude of the heavenly host. Mm-hmm. And we kind of blow through those things because we've heard it since we were kids.
Yeah.
But I had a Sunday school teacher once that explained when the Bible talks about a multitude of the heavenly hosts, we're talking about heaven poured out those angels and likely every inch of sky in front of those shepherds were filled with angels. What a moment.
Amen.
What a moment.
Amen. All right. So you're right. Becky Drace will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. And she's got a new book out called The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in Dark Places, in the Dark Places of Life.
Yeah.
And we will talk to her
about that.
All right. So, first of all, Chris, is there another drone story today?
Yes, there is a drone story. No one knows, and we can blame the Biden administration for that. I know that seems like the easy thing to do, but he is the president of the United States, and people working for him are not giving us clear and direct answers. To prove that, I do have some audio from people. But just to bring everybody up to speed that maybe paid attention to disappointing football teams like me over the weekend, drone sightings continue. Now, it began in places or states like New York, but it has since spread to, New Jersey. It has since been reported in New York, Pennsylvania. Now there's places all over the country that are reporting what they're calling drone sightings.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Democrats are not happy with the lack of information from the Democrat in the White House, that being President Joe Biden. Let's begin with this one. This is Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut. On Friday, he's very upset with the Biden administration for not saying more about all this. Clip one.
They should be shot down if necessary because they're flying over sensitive areas, whether it's planes that may be jeopardized or security at military bases. If only to tell the American people who owns them, who's flying them, what they are. The lack of information is absolutely unacceptable.
All right.
So again, the voice you just heard was that of Democrat Senator
Richard Blumenthal.
From what state?
Connecticut.
From Connecticut. And he's absolutely right. Now, just to review, this has been in the news now for what, 10 days?
That's probably not right.
I've gone on 3 weeks, actually.
Okay. So it was first reported as these mysterious, well, maybe they're drones flying overhead in parts of New Jersey, right?
Correct.
And that went on night after night after night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, or the Biden administration, nobody is telling folks what is going on. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And that goes then, and even a U.S. senator right there doesn't even know what's
going on.
Who's
a member of the president's own party. Now, in an effort to do damage control for the White House, they decided to truck out there Alejandro Mayorkas. This is the same man who told us the border was secure and immigration is not a problem. So Mayorkas, in recent days, went on television and said, don't worry about this. We're going to communicate with people about the drones. Clip two.
If we identify any foreign involvement or criminal activity, we will communicate with the American public accordingly. Right now, we are not aware of any.
People aren't buying that.
Well, here's the problem, Alejandro Mayorkas. If we identify.
Right.
If they are controlled by a foreign entity. Well, people are saying, well, shoot one of them down.
Yeah.
And let's find out.
Yeah.
If it's the Iranians or the Russians or the Chinese.
Right.
Shoot one of them down.
Right.
I mean, there's no law for our Defense Department has to follow that you can shoot one of these down. And let's remind people, some of these drones are as big as cars. They aren't the little ones that you buy
at
Walmart, all right?
Right, fly around in your backyard.
Yes. And so this statement, this is the Homeland Security Secretary saying, we don't know. Well, find out.
Yeah.
You know, find out where it's coming from. And what people can't understand, and I think I mentioned it this week, if a Cessna 172 flies into airspace over D.C., Falcon fighter jets are told to get in the air, and if you can't talk to this guy, shoot the thing down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now these drones, these huge drones, are flying over a military base in New Jersey, and Mayorkas is saying, gee, we're not sure who's operating them. By now, like we said, this has been going on for 3 weeks, and you got our top defense officials, John Kirby, he's the national security advisor to the president, saying basically the same thing last week. You know, we're working on finding out where these things are coming from. It takes you 3 weeks.
I know.
This is crazy.
It doesn't give you much confidence in our national security.
No.
Folks, when you got this going on and you, I'm like you, just shoot one down and find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But they should be able to, maybe they do know and they're just not telling us.
Well, Fox does have a story about that today.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like Bigfoot sightings, but I'm just telling you, maybe this is our own United States military.
Yes.
Doing exercises, but nobody wants to say that.
But
if it's, someone said it's, maybe it's our military doing detection exercises. Mm-hmm. All right, just tell us that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Just tell us that.
I agree. But the only thing that makes me hesitant to say it is our military doing exercises of some kind, maybe on some kind of new equipment that we don't want to announce to the world, is that why would you do it in the same place every night? After you know it's become a news story, a big news story like it is right now, don't do it anymore. Did it happen last night again?
Oh, it's been happening, yeah.
Every night.
So you're telling me you walk outside in New Jersey, I don't know what part of New Jersey. Is it near New York City?
Yes, it is. Because one of the people interviewed this morning, and I know, Chris, you have this, is Jay Johnson.
Yeah.
He was the Homeland Secretary under Barack Obama. He lives in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's been out taking his dog for a walk, in his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see these things.
Okay, this is weird.
Yeah, one reason why I am reluctant to believe it may be the military is because you have people like Senator Schumer out there in recent days requesting a 360-degree radar system for New York and New Jersey to detect drones. Match that with Blumenthal, who's also a Democrat, being upset about this. Why would high-ranking, well-known Democrats be calling for things when the military could just pick up a phone and go, hey, it's us, man, don't worry about it.
Yeah, somebody knows who it is and who's doing. The other thing is the reason I ask how close it is to New York City. Of course, say New Jersey's close to New York City, but mm-hmm. by close proximity, I'm talking about, let's say, 10, 15, 20 miles out.
Mm-hmm.
That New York area, New York City area is just has massive air travel.
Yes.
Okay. So you've got Newark International Airport. You've got JFK. You've got LaGuardia. Those are just three major airports, not to mention all the private, you know, small craft airports that are around in that area, New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, Long Island. So I'm finding it hard. Somebody's seen these fairly up close, it seems to me.
Well, and to throw a little bit more.
How high are they? Do you know how high up they are?
Easy to see. So maybe 1,000 feet, maybe a couple of 1,000 feet. But over the weekend, a couple of guys were arrested after their drones were seen near in the vicinity of the Logan Airport in Boston. So they did catch two guys. One guy escaped in a boat, but they have two guys under arrest for flying their drones over the airport. So if the authorities in Boston can do this, why can't our United States military, arguably the best in the world, take one of these things down and then tell the people, hey, it's Joe Smith over there is running some of
this. You know what, too? This happens when nobody's in charge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what happens when nobody's in charge, because if you had a president who was active and in charge, and we know that Biden has been for a long time, hasn't been for 6-8 months at least, probably longer, that we've known about, then a president would come out and do a press conference and say, we're getting to the bottom of this tomorrow. That's all you, huh?
Yeah.
And you can, and if you say, that's all you got to say.
Yeah.
But Biden, has he even commented on this at all?
Not to my knowledge.
He doesn't.
There's not a press briefing scheduled today either. He's going to deliver remarks about Hanukkah.
Well, I would, you know, with Vice President Harris' track record as border czar, I would put her in charge. I'd be, make her drone czar today. I'd announce that I'm making Kamala Harris the drone czar for the remainder of my presidency.
That announcement would bring so much joy to the American people.
This is a season of joy, Chris.
It is.
And so, listen, this is one of the strangest stories that's been out there in a while. Not because drones are flying over New Jersey, it's because our top government officials seemingly don't have a clue on what's going on.
Well, they didn't do anything about the Chinese spy balloon.
Yes, I was just going to talk about that.
Oh yeah,
we deliberately allowed that thing to fly across the country over
that sensitive
areas. We waited until it got over the Atlantic, and then we shot it down because we said, "Well, didn't want to shoot it down because it might hurt somebody."
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Thus concludes our drone coverage. All right, Chris, next story.
Let's mention this, because it's going to probably carry us into the break. The famous Army-Navy game was over the weekend, and President-elect Trump, I should say, as well as Senator J.D. Vance, our soon-to-be vice president, were in attendance at a suite watching the game. And I have audio here of a very moving rendition of the national anthem as performed by cadets from both service academies here. We can dump out of this whenever you want, but here it is, clip 11.
Wow, that was the Army-Navy game on Saturday. It was in the where the Redskins play.
Yes.
Sometimes it's in Philadelphia. Normally it is in Philadelphia. So that was a combination of the Navy midshipmen and the Army cadets.
On the field there. And for a moment, you know, this is where radio can't do TV, but for a moment there was video that cut away to Trump, who was standing there next to Vance, and Trump was saluting the cadets there. Very moving moment, I think. It got a lot of reaction from people on X, formerly known as Twitter. A lot of people said it was very patriotic, you know, we're winning, that kind of thing.
Did I hear, I thought I heard them say, gave proof through the night that our drone was still there. but did I hear that wrong? Maybe I heard that wrong.
You did.
Drones were still there. Listen, that was very moving, and that's a wonderful game to watch because the pageantry there, the Army-Navy game I'm talking about. Interesting. So President Trump is there at the game in a suite, you know, with the you know, security and everything. He has to he doesn't sit on the 45-yard line to get hot dogs delivered to him. So he's there with Vice President-elect Vance.
Yes.
And they had with them Daniel Perry. Penny.
Daniel Penny.
Yep.
Daniel Penny, who was the Marine who was charged with manslaughter by the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg. And he was, he's not guilty.
Mm. Yeah, he was found. They had Alvin Bragg had given two charges, manslaughter and negligence. The jury could not come to a decision on the manslaughter. And so Alvin Bragg's team then said, okay, we'll just skip that. Let's go to negligence. And the jury was out for the grand total of an hour a week ago today. And they came back and said he's not guilty.
So he was at the game at the invitation of Vice President-elect yes. Vance.
Mm-hmm. Elon Musk was there.
Elon Musk.
Tulsi Gabbard was there.
Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. That was.
He's a Navy guy.
Yes.
Navy vet. So they were all there, I guess, together in Trump's suite.
Yes.
Watching the ball game that Saturday afternoon. Well, but I thought it was very interesting that he would invite Penny.
Yeah.
Daniel Penny to the
I think it's safe to say they share a common background when it comes to Alvin Bragg.
True.
You know, I can imagine Trump saying, "I feel your pain."
Yeah, exactly.
When it comes to that.
Anyway, that was good to see on Saturday afternoon in I don't know where the Are they the commander?
They're the commander.
Formerly known as the Redskins.
Yes. Now, they may actually go back to that. There has been some stories for a few weeks now on how there is a push to try to restore the name Redskins. Whether or not that happens, I'm not sure.
Really?
Yes. Roundabout, not long after the election of President Trump, when it was declared that woke is dead, or DEI is dead on arrival, that kind of thing, a lot of people started pushing again for things like the Redskins to come back. Whether or not the Cleveland Guardians, the baseball team, will go back to the Indians, I'm not sure. They probably won't. But, yeah, there has been a push for the Commanders to be once again.
Yeah, the Cleveland Indians baseball team, I didn't understand. What's offensive about using the term Indian?
When you're on the Cuyahoga River?
Yeah,
and you're in a place called Ohio? I don't know. The Braves said we're staying Braves.
Maybe Redskins I could understand, even though that didn't seem to bother the Redskin, the Indians who were, I guess, getting paid by the Redskins organization. Mm-hmm. I know that the Florida State, Florida State University, who is the Seminoles,
right?
Mm-hmm. They have a relationship with Seminole Nation, and they pay them a certain money to, and it's an honor.
Yeah.
It's an honor. They consider it an honor, and they get paid. Mm-hmm. By the university to use the Seminole symbol as their mascot. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Jerry and Becky Drace will be in studio with us coming up in just a couple of minutes. They are host of Hope for the Home, heard each Sunday afternoon at 5:30 Central Time on American Family Radio. Much more to talk about today. We'll see you back here in a couple minutes.
If we learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor five ultrasounds. And now, through a match, your gift is doubled. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has a 4-star charity rating. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Fred and Chris. And as always, we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. Don't send us any negative emails, by the way. By negative, I mean criticizing us, because it's the Christmas season. And we don't need that, do we, Fred?
That's right. That's right. You know. Always positive.
So I would, huh?
Always positive.
K-Love.
Yeah.
Positive and encouraging. That's what I call them. K-Love emails. That's all we want. Positive and encouraging. Again, you're listening to Today's Issues. So Tim, Fred, and Chris. And in studio with us now are our good friends Jerry and Becky Drace from the Jackson, Tennessee area. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Jerry.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good to have you all in town with us. Becky, you did devotion for us this morning, our staff.
Mm-hmm. I was honored. Thank you.
Very much appreciated that. Jerry and Becky's voice may be familiar to you. You've heard them on the Hope for the Home Sunday afternoon program. How long have y'all been doing that now for us, Jerry?
We just finished our first year. But yeah. The other one, we've been with you for five years.
Yeah, the short feature.
Yeah, the short feature. Yes,
but you've been doing the Hope for the Home half-hour show on Sunday afternoons for a year now. Where do y'all live? In Jackson?
Mm-hmm. We live in Jackson, Tennessee.
Jackson. Been there, how long y'all?
33 years.
Are you both from there? Or?
I'm from the area, yeah. Jerry's dad pastored all around the area, so We kind of, his dad was pastor of my home church, so that's how we met.
Okay.
Yes. So, God just foreordained that, brother.
What? What? God just foreordained that? So you want to get into that, do you, Jerry? Well, as a Baptist? Huh?
I was going to say, let's skip that one.
Moving right along.
All right. So, but Jerry, you and Becky were on the, I guess, the evangelist. You were like a traveling evangelist, right?
38 years, full time.
How long?
38 years. I had a great team that traveled with me, and Becky stood home and took care of the children. We lived in Jacksonville, Florida at that time for most of that. Then we moved back to Jackson, Tennessee, but for 38 years I was on the road.
Now, what was that like? Would you do like crusades or what?
Crusades and revivals. And you know what, Tim? Revivals are a thing of the past with many churches nowadays.
Well, then it morphed into Hope for the Home conferences, which is a weekend conference for families, and that's basically where our program was born.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we went from the revival circuit, so to speak, and the crusades. I wrote a bunch of pastors years and years ago, a lot of pastors, and said, what's the greatest need in your church? And the number one answer came back was, how do we minister to our families? Hmm. They weren't asking about salvation. They weren't asking about building churches. How do we minister to our families? And Beck and I had just returned from a meeting with Dr. James Dobson out at Focus. And he had asked me, he said, Jerry, how many, quote, Southern Baptist evangelists are addressing family issues? I said, well, Dr. Dobson, I only know of two at this moment. He said, why don't you be the third? He said, we got all the resources here that you need. And I had just finished doing my doctorate work on family formation and spiritual formation. So long story short, we developed, in answer to the pastor's questions, we developed Hope for the Home. And out of that, we've done, what, 200 or 300 of those?
Oh, wow, all over the country, huh?
Yeah, all over the country, and several in Great Britain. We go in.
Understand you?
Pardon?
In Great Britain, they speak English, so yes.
Oh, my.
A little bit twangy, but.
Oh, they talk funny over
they
there,
do talk
they?
Funny.
Oh, they come up and say, most of them say, will you say y'all? I say, what? I said, we just say you all. I said, well, that's the way we say it at home, y'all. But, oh, yeah, it's fun speaking to the British.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Okay, so Becky, you've got this brand new book out called The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in Dark in the Dark Places of Life, forward by Mike Huckabee. And this book has just been released, right?
Released publicly at your favorite bookstores and Amazon last Thursday on my birthday.
Okay. So, folks, you need to get this book, Becky Drace, D-R-A-C-E. So, Becky, give us an overview. What is this book about?
I'd love to. It actually was born from my first experience with a dip into the dark blue when our daughter graduated from high school and emptied out the nest. And honestly, I thought my mission was over. And then the Lord began to work with me, took me back into 1 Samuel, first chapter, which to me is the most complete picture of a depressive spiral of any character in the Bible, other than Job. Jerry likes Job, but Hannah, the mother of Samuel.
I don't like Job, but anyway, go ahead.
And Hannah, the mother of Samuel, was the model for me. And as I studied her thoroughly, I watched the progression down and the progression up. And so out of that was where my first Bible study was born. But then this time, 2 years ago, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so it's been almost 3 years now, 12 weeks of treatment, radiation 21 radiation treatments, and then immunotherapy, and now I'm beyond. And I did not know at the time where that was going to take our family. I never had cancer in our family, never had a problem. And I know now, looking back, as we were walking down that long hallway going to my first chemotherapy appointment, I thought, Lord, again, are you done with me? Am I finished? And in my spirit, I said, Lord, if I'm going to continue to be used by you, you need to show me how I can be a kingdom person. And when that door opened, I didn't have a clue. But the young nurse, I said, well, what do I do? And she said, well, just take a seat. And I said, well, where? She said, well, how about over by that lady over there? And I sat down by this lady, and I simply said to her, those are cute shoes. And from then on, we were locked into a discussion on cancer and treatment. And there was another young lady. In 12 weeks, the Lord brought me 12 individual ladies that I could minister to and showed me how to develop a text group. And now that's morphed into 25 or 30 different ladies over that period of time. And so the Lord indicated to me, you never lose a place to serve if you just make yourself available. A simple servant who's available and obedient is all that's required. So out of that experience, Jerry said, Beck, why don't you write your story? Your journal.
Right.
And so I began to write the journal, and out of that developed the manuscript. I submitted it to the publishing house, Morgan James Publishing Company out of New York. And they said, Becky, this is really good. However, not everybody has breast cancer. And so why don't you explore some other avenues, some other challenges? And so Jerry and I discussed it, prayed about it, and I just threw it out there to a bunch of people, and I said, would you write your story? And so they wrote stories, submitted them to me, and I brought it down to 10 other individuals with different stories in life. And so it's not all cancer. There's stories in there of young couples who've gone through divorce, remarriage, abuse, rape, loss of loved ones, long-term health care, just cruising through with not really a deep dip, but some were pretty deep and inspirational. To me, my goal, Tim and gentlemen, I feel like I'm surrounded by, male mental people. people who are radio savvy.
Giants.
But anyway, giants. But anyway, I really wanted the book to be a book of encouragement and hope. And you used that word earlier, encouragement. And that's the key word for me, encouragement and hope. Because honestly, sometimes people get stuck along the way. And what might seem to be a minimum challenge might develop into something more deep and hard to get out of. And so my goal is that, had a lady 2 weeks ago tell me, she said, she texted me, and she wasn't one of my members on the group. She just texted me randomly, and she said, I just need you to know that reading whatever chapter it was that she read, she said, it's exactly what I needed this day at this time. And she said, my day was different after reading that chapter.
So if you know somebody that's going in depression or despair, or they're going through some hard time in their life, whether it's sickness or, like you said, loss of a family member or whatever, the divorce, whatever the case may be, this is a book that will help them. This is a book that will encourage them and give them God's perspective on life, right?
Yeah, and actually, I was telling someone earlier that every single story, every person's story points back to one focal point, and that's refocusing on Christ and how he can move you back from any stage of life, any challenge of life, back into his presence and move you through that. May not make it easier, and it may get worse, but he will move you through. Life, to me, is a journey. It's an eternal journey.
Right.
But there's paths along the way, and those paths can be deep, they can be high, they can be rocky, they can be challenging. But focusing on Jesus, to me, with every one of the stories, and I didn't put that in there. I let them write their stories.
Yeah.
And every one of them.
But yours is in here, too.
Oh, mine is in there, too. Yeah. And the thing in one of the last chapters of the book is the process that you go through when you're having struggles like this. There's a process. And I put that in the book as well.
The title of the book is The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in the Dark Places of Life by Becky Drace, D-R-A-C-E. Where can you get this book?
Well, you can get it at your favorite bookstores, right? Or on Amazon, or you can contact us directly at Hope for the Home on our website, hopeforthehome.org, or you can contact us through our email at hopeforthehome@juno.com. And, you know, we'll be glad to. I have some personal copies available, too. So either way, you can go to your favorite bookstore.
Fred?
Yeah, I guess this is what you were just talking about. I guess chapter 20, where to find what you need. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, to me, like I said, the main focus is finding Christ in your life. And sometimes when people get into a challenge, they dip so low that they put him on the back burner. And so I think reestablishing your position in Christ is vital. But then there are so many wonderful resources available. And I never underestimate the importance of suggesting that you find a good counseling staff. Make note, good counseling. Christ-centered is the best. And sometimes that's the place people can go to start. I've had several people, not just in the book, but in just general conversations, tell me how valuable their counselor is. I met with a young lady this past week, and she said, I've been in counseling now for 3 years. I don't intend to stop. I said, there's no need for you to. If this is what is helping you to recover from where you were to where you need to be. One more comment, too, that I think that's become very important to me in my personal life is, and I like this as a word of encouragement, we are described by our past. We are. We're all impacted by our familial upbringing, our biological connections, our genetics, and all those things. We are described by those. We do not need to let that keep us stuck in a place because it helps us to understand who we were, who we are, but it doesn't define who we can become. And so I think refocusing that alone is vitally important.
I've also heard people say, don't let others define who you are. And even some people with, you know, they have goodness in their heart, but they want to keep going back to where you were. Talk a little bit about that, the importance of you being able to move on in Christ.
Absolutely, and I think that is a very important comment because even in counseling, oftentimes a counselor will not take a person back. However, in my personal experience as a counselor, I feel like that sometimes a sensitive counselor will be able to pinpoint areas that maybe that person needs to go back to, but don't get stuck there. That's the key. and keeping the focus positive is very important. Oh. So for me, I dipped into that place. My family didn't even realize. I mean, I was crying at night in my pillow, and, you know, I just
You mean
was
after
really,
the cancer diagnosis?
After the cancer diagnosis. Even when my nest emptied out the first time was when I really began to realize the extent of what a despondency can lead to if it's not dealt with. And so as I wrote my first Bible study out of the life of Hannah, I realized there is hope. There's hope for anyone, no matter how deeply you go. Uh-huh. And so I think that's a good question. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, is the anything you want to say, Brother Jerry, to what Becky's talked about here?
I'm just going to let her preach. I watched her do this. It was amazing. Her first book was called Becoming a Woman of Worth, and that kind of set the tone for what was to follow. But watching her go through this and develop her own ministry was so unique.
Well, two things, yeah. too, Jer. He is my loving supporter, obviously. Right. We've been married 55 years this
wow.
year. Can you believe it? We don't look that. But anyway.
You need to do a devotion book on that.
I'm like telling
living
you.
With Jerry for 55 years, how God got me through.
Now, how Jerry can live with me for 55 years, that would be the clue. But the thing is, having someone in your life, whether it's your spouse, a lot of people go into states that they don't have a spouse for whatever reason, but having someone in your life that can come alongside you
yeah.
and help support, encourage you, just be your friend is vitally important, I think, to recovery. But Jerry obviously didn't know how to boil water, but he learned
right.
through my cancer experience. He had to step up and care for me in ways that he had never had to do that before. So that alone, I think, deepened our relationship to a new level. Plus, Jerry's been through prostate cancer as well. So this was a mutual experience that we had.
His
was
mm-hmm.
Well, his was
yeah.
very treatable, and
yeah.
you know, he'll probably die from a heart attack before he'd die from prostate cancer.
Right.
But
right.
nevertheless, it was an experience that we both shared together, having a health issue. And as you grow older, oftentimes couples will experience mutual health issues that can tear them apart or pull them together.
Yeah. Well,
one chapter in this book that is, to me, one of my favorites, it was written by a friend of ours. And he said one night somebody knocked on his door when they lived in Atlanta, Georgia. And he opened the door, and the man introduced himself as Truett Cathy.
Oh.
And he said, I thought, he's bringing me Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy came in and witnessed to our friend that night. And as a result of that visit, our friend, this was years ago, became a Christian.
Mm.
And he and his wife had a fabulous marriage. But his story is in that book. About when she died, how he dealt with her death.
And cared for her.
Oh, yeah. So that's why this book is for men as well as women. But
yeah.
she asked two or three guys to write their stories, which are in here.
Mm.
She mentioned the young lady who was assaulted when she was a child and never even brought it up to her mind. She's hidden it all these years when Becky had been her counselor. So when Becky asked her to write, she told Becky, she said, for now 30 years, this brought things to mind. It was so therapeutic for her. It was just a release.
Her word was liberated. She said, I felt liberated from emotions that I had held to my chest and nobody knew.
The Breast Cancer Treatment Center in Memphis liked it so much, they bought a good quantity to give to their patients. And so did the Kirkland Cancer Center in Jackson.
Tell me about the book.
The book.
Yeah.
So organizations can buy quantities of them. You know, and I sincerely, I told Becky, I said, I wish I had a means of putting one of these books in the hands of several thousand pastors so they could look at it, order some, and give it to the people in their church.
Hmm.
It's just, well, it leads them through that, see?
The back of the book says, hope and faith are essential for the journey of life.
Yep.
And amen to that. Amen to that. And the book is titled, The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in the Dark Places of Life. Forward by Mike Huckabee. The author is our guest, Becky Drace, and her husband, Jerry. They're in town with us to visit today. And all right, lady and gentlemen, thanks so much for stopping by. I know y'all going to go record with Pastor Joseph in just a minute. And
thanks for having us, by the way.
You're welcome. And hope for the home. What's this weekend's coming up next Sunday? Do you know what the show, have y'all done that yet?
Yes, we recorded it.
What's that show about?
It's dealing with stages of depression.
Okay. Of depression?
Depression.
Okay.
We're doing a series now for senior adults that we're going to evolve then into marriage questions, from divorce to teenagers to children. So we're finishing with how to deal
with. Why do Christians go through depression, though? That seems like a contradiction.
It does, doesn't it? You've heard people say, well, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be depressed. And I want to say, are you saved? Have you ever gone through a state of depression? So I take them always to the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
And so she takes them to Hannah, but yeah.
I was just kidding earlier about not liking the book of Job. I'm just saying there are parts of the Bible that you don't like to read necessarily, but benefit you spiritually.
So, I know.
And the story of Job is one of them. Yes,
but, sure is.
But anyway, you're right. And I thought we were through with this conversation, but I want to ask you about depression. I know maybe you're not an expert on this, Becky, but there is what's called, I knew a person one time who was a friend of mine, and they said, I learned they were going through what's called clinical depression.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and I was ignorant at the time. They told me they're going through of what it was. I just thought, you're blue. Your team lost, or I don't know. You're depressed, and you'll get over it. So snap out of it.
Well, sometimes I think I always think assessment is very important.
What assessment? Okay.
Because you can't. There are people who are clinically depressed. The key to that, to me, though, is it once you're assessed, is getting with the proper treatment pattern. Because
right.
I would never say don't go on medication. There are
right. some people need medication.
Well, there's a series of thoughts.
It's a chemical imbalance.
Yes, and it can be. Yes. But being assessed by a professional caregiver is very important.
Right.
And then, as a professional counselor, I've seen this happen often. When you are given medication, sometimes it takes adjustments on different kinds of medications and the longevity of how long it takes for it to kick in and begin to be beneficial for you. So if you're suffering today and you're listening from clinical depression, number one, get assessed, go to a professional person who can treat you properly, and then let it take time. And then if you need to adjust your medication, don't get discouraged or more depressed because of that, because there is hope.
Yeah, but some people don't want to go on. They're worried about going on medication might make things worse. So you need to get help, I would say, from a Christian doctor.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Or Christian. It needs to be a believer that's helping you, whether it be the doctor or the counselor or whatever. You don't need to.
That's the key to it right there.
Well, you know why? Because they see things from a biblical Christian perspective.
Yes.
It makes all the difference
right.
in the world.
Right, right. Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Becky. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, and we thank the name of the book is The Bright Side of Blue, Finding Hope in the Dark Places of Life. Becky Drace is the author. Chris, what's your next story?
Well, I've got some audio here from Frank Pavone. Frank is the head of, can we do some bites? Okay. We're talking about Attorney General Ken Paxton. He's in the news because Attorney General Ken Paxton of Texas is suing a doctor in New York State for giving the abortion pill or pills to women in Texas. Attorney General Ken Paxton says this is illegal in the state of Texas. I'm coming after you even if you're not in my state. Now, Paxton is being ridiculed for not taking into consideration the belief or needs of women out there. But Frank Pavone was on Jenna Ellis in the morning today saying Attorney General Paxton is doing his job. Clip 12.
You know, Ken Paxton is just doing his job, right? He's the attorney general. He's enforcing the laws of Texas. And Texas, the people of Texas, through their lawmakers and their governor, have decided that the women of Texas are going to be protected from what is, and you notice how the language is so deceptive. The other side loves to call it the abortion pill. And this is a several-day drug technique that involves more than one drug, powerful synthetic steroids that starve a baby and then expel that baby from the mother's body. So that's pretty gruesome stuff. And we know, you know, through our Silent No More campaign, we have plenty of testimonies. We've got plenty of evidence of how these abortion drugs, through this horrible process, cause suffering to these moms, days on end of bleeding and pain, and a lifetime of regret.
Now, that again was Frank Pavone on Jenna Ellis in the Morning on AFR Talk, talking about Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton suing a New York doctor who allegedly prescribed abortion pills to women in the Lone Star State. So we're going to be continuing to cover this. I've got interviews this afternoon with pro-life groups in the great state of Texas, so stay tuned to AFN. Meanwhile, I have posted a Fox News article about this very issue on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
Hey, you know, guys, I was watching President Trump is doing press coverage from Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. President-elect Trump, because it's confusing because he was once president, and so you refer to him as president or president-elect. I think either one is fine. But he is de facto president right now.
Pretty much.
Yep.
We look to him for answers. He's getting quoted on the drone issue.
Well, Biden is just—he's been out of the picture. He, as I said before, Biden's been missing in action since June.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now, what I'm saying is that President Trump is taking questions on foreign policy that would normally go to the President of the United States, whoever he is. Mm-hmm. In this case, Biden. Mm-hmm. Until the next president takes over. Well, now Trump is, as I said, de facto president without the authority, official authority yet.
And it's amazing. Last weekend, not this past, but the weekend before, he went to Paris for the reopening of the Notre Dame Cathedral. And Joe Biden did not go. Jill Biden did. But the pictures coming out of that ceremony there about 10 days ago, he was presidential there. The world leaders were coming up to him and wanting to meet him, and he held private meetings with some of the world leaders. So you're exactly right, Tim. It seems already that he has now started his second term early because Joe Biden is nowhere to be seen. And that's almost literal.
Yeah, President Trump now is commenting on the he demands government transparency on the mystery drones.
Yes.
Which, by the way, President Trump has a home and a residence, I should say, the golf course there that he owns, Bedminster, I think is the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right there in northern New Jersey, so not too far from New York City. So he would have an interest from that perspective, not to mention. He's about to be Commander-in-Chief.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We shall return with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Fred, and Chris, again, we thank you for listening. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.